When I think about what we have to do to interview these women, I think in order to build trust, you have to show empathy. You have to make clear that you are different from the Border Patrol official who told her that there is no asylum for Salvadorans, which is not true. It's a lie. It's intimidation. We have to show that we are different from the official who just gives them a number and uses only that number when they refer to them. So we have to show that we're different from the other people who they've met since crossing into the United States. Because in general, those people have lied to them, those people have detained them, those people have dehumanized them, those people have treated them like numbers. They haven't treated them like people. And to do that, we have to show that we care about their story and we have to listen. We're confronted with this tension because we are often the first people to listen to our client's story and empathize with them and validate their fear and their pain, that it's not their fault and that someone cares about it. But our job is also to make sure that they're prepared for this interview that's going to save their lives. It's easier to talk about something horrible that's happened to you as a generalization than to put yourself back in the most painful and frightening moment of your life and retell it like it's a screenplay, retell it with stage directions. It's incredibly traumatizing. And this system forces us to traumatize our clients in order to prepare them for this interview. The interview traumatizes them again because asylum is predicated on fear of incredible violence and harm. And in order to show that you fear it, you have to explain what you fear. Our clients always say this: retelling it is reliving it. Retelling it is reliving it. Please, please stop making me tell you this. I don't want to talk about this anymore. But the way I try to frame things for them is you can leave this behind in your interview, but to leave it behind, you have to take it out first. Just take it all out, let it out, and leave it behind. The worst things that have ever happened to you, the things you fear the most, what you fear for your children, the things that you've lived through that you never want to live through again. And I can share with you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about women who have watched a loved one, watched a parent, watched a child, watched a spouse be murdered in front of their faces. I'm talking about women who have seen their husbands' bodies riddled with bullets. And because there aren't emergency services in their town or because the police just won't come, who have joined with their family and disposed of the body, collected the body off of the street and buried it themselves. I'm talking about women who have been locked in rooms by their husbands, not allowed to leave, and raped repeatedly, day in, day out, beaten, grabbed by the hair, thrown against the wall, tried to go to the police and been laughed at. I'm talking about women who have been raped as children. I'm talking about women who've seen their own children beaten to a pulp by gang members in their town who've decided that those kids belong to them now. These are things that no person would ever want to think of again. To have an image in your mind of your mother, your father, your husband shot up, mutilated, left in the street. You don't want to see that. And not only do you have to see it in your mind, you have to describe it, why it happened to your family in particular, to this asylum officer. Of course, they don't want to. They want to leave it behind. They came here to escape it. But in order to leave it behind, they have to pull it out. It feels cruel. Even though I know we are doing a service for these women, it is cruel to force someone who is detained, who has no support, who has no one to turn to retell, to relive the worst moments of their lives in order for them to escape them.